Welcome, everyone. Thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous day. David said in Psalms 133 and verse 1, he says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And it is good for us to dwell together in unity. Over the years, we have studied the conversion of the Samaritans and Simon, along with the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. I want to take this study just a little further and a little deeper as to what Philip preached. If you're a non-Christian, I ask you to please pay close attention, and by doing so, you'll learn what you must do to become a Christian and to be saved. If you are a Christian and you're lukewarm, by that I mean you only come to Bible class or services when it pleases you, or maybe you have sinned in a way that others are aware of, you too need to pay close attention. This could be the last day either of you have a chance to repent. So open your Bibles and follow along, if you would, as we study what Philip preached. What Philip preached. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 5. In Acts 8 and verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now look at verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Skip on down to verse 35 with me. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." He preached Jesus. What did Philip preach? He preached Jesus. And what are some of the central themes of his preaching? First of all, Philip preached Christ. In preaching Christ, Philip told the Ethiopian officer that Jesus was the one of whom Isaiah had spoken these words, and that he had recently fulfilled the prophecy. But what did Philip preach? Since this man was an unbeliever, Philip preached that he is the Son of God, as seen in Acts 9 and verse 20. It was also necessary to preach to him enough of the life and words of Jesus so that he may believe on him. Turn to John chapter 20. John 20. Now we all know that Paul says, "So then faith cometh by hearing." John chapter 20 and verse 31 says, "These things," which are signs or miracles, "these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Had some modern clergyman or so-called TV evangelist or just plain evangelist today, maybe if they had been in Philip's place, they would have no doubt have been so eloquent in telling him of our church, the soundness of our creed, or the large numbers we have, of our great missionary societies, of our institutions of learning, and would have tried to influence him to join our church. But fortunately for us, Philip was concerned only with that the man might be turned to Christ, might put Christ on, become a child of God, and receive the remission of sins, and be added by the Lord to his church, the church of Christ. In order to accomplish this, he simply preached to him the gospel. In order that he might believe on Christ, he must tell of Christ's life and work sufficiently to produce faith in him. Philip needed to tell him of the miraculous birth of Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea, of how he came to John and demanded baptism at his hands in order to fulfill all righteousness. He needed to tell him how John took Jesus down, down into the Jordan River, buried him beneath the water, and how as he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and the Spirit descended like a dove and abode upon him. He must tell him how Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, gave hearing to the deaf, healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, and stilled the winds and the waves. And finally, Philip must tell him how Jesus was given a mock trial, condemned to die, nailed to the cross on Calvary's hill, and buried in Joseph's tomb. Philip must tell him that on the third day he burst the bars of death. He came forth from the grave, mingled with his disciples for 40 days, and then led them out on the mount, lifted up his hands and blessed them, and gave them the Great Commission. That is as broad as the earth and as long as time. And this commission, we know it as the Great Commission. This commission which extends to every creature and will remain enforced until the end of the world. And finally, Philip must tell him how Jesus ascended to heaven and was seated on the right hand of God. Then Philip preached the kingdom of God to this man. Turn to Acts chapter 20 with me. Acts chapter 20. To preach things concerning the kingdom of God, as we read earlier in Acts 12, 8 and verse 12, is to preach the kingdom of God as Paul did to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 25 when he said, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Philip told of the kingdom of promise and prophecy. He told of the kingdom which shall never be destroyed, as seen in Daniel 2:44. He told of the rule and the reign of Christ. He spoke of the government, the mountains of the house of the Lord. Let's take a look at how Isaiah put that. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's go over there and we'll read verses 2 through 4. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Philip also preached, Jesus was on the throne of David. I'm going to go to Luke, the first chapter, if you would. He's going to talk about the throne of David. Luke chapter 1. Let's read verses 31 through 33. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb, in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, Philip taught the eunuch that one must be born again, that he must be born of water and of the Spirit before he can become a citizen of that kingdom. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now I'd like for you to come with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you would. He said that one must be converted, become as a little child, and do the will of the Father, or else he cannot enter into the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 18, and let's look at verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I got brother Eric, he's still a babe and child, a babe in the word, but he's learning, and he wants to learn, and we're so proud of him. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Philip said that God, verse 13, hath delivered from the power of darkness and has translated us into where? The kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of his dear son. It's the church. The kingdom of God, of course, is the church of Christ. Please come with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Very familiar passage to all of us. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, and there Jesus said, beginning in verse 18, And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, that's singular, one church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Philip preached concerning the church. He told of its one head, of its one Lord, of its one faith, and of its one baptism. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. And Philip stressed and impressed upon his audience that since we have received such a person, look at verse 28 of Hebrews 12, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful passage. That's our duty as Christians, brethren. That's our duty of Christians to have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Next, Philip preached the name of Jesus Christ. To preach the name of Christ is to preach the authority of Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Now here we see the Jews asked the apostles in verse 7 of Acts 4, By what power or by what name have you done this? Peter said in verse 10, That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Observe with me that it was by the power or the name or the authority of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is the power of all authority. The name of Jesus is the power or authority of Jesus. Please look with me, if you would, in verse 12 of that same chapter. Peter went on to say in verse 12 of Acts 4, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven that you can be saved. Brethren and friends, there is no other name than Jesus. There is no other power than Jesus. There is no other authority than Jesus that can save us. Philip spoke of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. He said that Christ now has all authority, and that those who have talked concerning Christ are to be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as we read in Matthew. That's seen in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Now, I'm sure also that Philip told that at the power or authority of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Look at Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2. And let's start reading in verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, "Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father." Think about that, brethren. That is includes every person, from Adam to the last person on this earth when this old world comes to an end. This includes all the atheists, the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindu, whatever. Whether they believed in Jesus as their Savior or not, they will bow on Judgment Day and plead for forgiveness. But it'll be too late. So you see, Philip spoke of this authority and power when he preached concerning the name of Jesus Christ. Then Philip preached baptism. Yes, Philip preached the necessity of faith, repentance, and baptism. His word produced faith, and the fruits or results of his preaching shows the presence of godly sorrow unto repentance. Let's read together. Go back to Acts chapter 8. Let's read together verses 9 through 12. Acts 8, verse 9. "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ," what happened? "They were baptized, both men and women." Brethren, that he preached baptism indicates in the next verse, because in verse 13, "Then Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with him." Now, my friends, after hearing Jesus preach, the eunuch expressed his desire to be baptized. Why would he do that? How could he do that if baptism had not been included in Philip's preaching of Jesus? He would not have known, would he? That's part of preaching Jesus. Philip had to preach baptism to the Ethiopian eunuch. How do we know that? Well, look at Acts 8 and verse 36. It says, "And they went on their way, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He had to preach Jesus. When you preach Jesus, you preach baptism. After the eunuch confessed publicly that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, we read in Acts 8 and verse 38 these words, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Philip also said that you're immersed in water. They both went down into the water. They both come up out of the water. You're immersed in water. You're not poured on. You're not sprinkled. He said they both went down into the water. There's our authority. One of the places of our authority that we are to be immersed in water for the remission of our sins. So what did Philip say about baptism? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Arise and be baptized to wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Philip evidently said words equal to those as in the scriptures indicate, nothing else. That's why I pray that you will do, but you will do the same thing this morning if you're not a child of God. In conclusion, what Philip preached must be preached today. These topics can never grow old. They're vital because of their consequences are eternal. Go to Acts chapter 2 again for me with you, please. Acts 2, and we'll look at beginning in verse 37. Brethren, now on the day of Pentecost, which was this day, after convicting the Jews of crucifying the Son of God, these Jews were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? What shall we do? They were crying out, Peter, please tell us what to do to be saved. We don't know. Peter, who had the privilege of being the first to announce the terms of admission into the kingdom of heaven, said, remember now, this is the point of the time in this whole world that no one knew what to do to be saved. And this is how Peter answered them. Let's look together at Peter's answer in Acts 2:38. Peter said to the multitudes, just accept Jesus into your hearts as your personal Savior and you'll be saved and you cannot fall from grace. If this is all there is, as 99% of the denominational world teaches and believes, wouldn't this be the time and the place to put those words into the Bible? No, you can't find man's doctrine in the Bible. Now let's read the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, and see what Peter actually said. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How simple it is, salvation. And this, my friends, is the only way to be saved. Don't be fooled by some slick man-made doctrines that will lead you to hell. Now that was over 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years from now, 5,000 years from now, even 100,000 years from now, someone somewhere will ask the question, what must I do to be saved? You know what the answer will be? The same as it was on the day of Pentecost when that first gospel sermon was preached, when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't usually read poems, but I think this one is appropriate. It goes like this. What would you do? What would you do if this were the day for Jesus to come and take you away? Would you be glad the day finally came? Or would you be sad and suffering shame? Would you say, Jesus, Lord, here am I? Or would you be shaken and starting to cry? Would you sing loudly your praises to God? Or would you be looking for some place to hide? Would you cry, mercy, dear Lord, on my soul? Or would you stand firmly on what you were told? Would you be sure by the scriptures you've read? Or would you rest purely on what someone has said? Remember, my friend, This could be the day when Jesus will come to take you away. Then where will you go, to heaven or hell? The answer is yours, as you know very well. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you do, then you're ready to become a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you need to come forward now as we stand and sing and repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized in it for the remission of your sins. And as you come out of that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Is there anything we can do to make anyone's life right with God? If so, I plead with you and I beg you to take care of it this morning. Maybe you've sinned in a way others are aware of. Maybe you too need to come and ask for the prayers of the congregation, and we'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. That's what it's all about, brethren. That's what the whole thing is about. From the day we're born to the day we die, that's what we live for, to go to heaven. This earth is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And I hope all of us are striving to get there. I'll say it again. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. How simple those words are if you think about it. Can we help anyone make their life right with God? If so, come now as we stand and as we sing, Brother Bill.